And are there more of them? How do you operate the device that tells of the approach of other machines? And what other booby traps does the vehicle have, aside from the bomb on the belly hatch?
Anders dropped the whip.
My patience grows short, as does the time. Tell me or die.
Do it.
Shard had trouble keeping his head erect. His strength was fading, and soon the pain would claim him.
Kill me. I'll never betray a friend.
Friend? Nonsense. You never met him before the tower room.
Blood dripped from Shard's broken nose.
They treated me like a man, not a slave. That's worth more than anything you can offer.
Oh, you'll soon beg to talk.
The Sekhman pulled a medical instrument into view. The blade gleamed in the light of the brazier.
This is one of Eugene's favorites. I've seen him use it on many subjects. Now, it's my turn.
You know, I escaped once.
Shard said this out of the blue, playing his last card. Raw desperation flooded his body with the strength to speak clearly. Lowering the instrument, Anders stared.
What?
Got out. Over the wall. Made it to the forest and got captured by the scavengers. They tortured me, too. Had to bet a female mutie, a sticky, or else they would have roasted me for their dinner.
Shard squinted as if trying to focus his blurred vision.
Always thought you looked familiar. Are you my son?
With an insane snarl, Anders threw away the medical probe and drew a dagger from his belt. When the door behind him opened unexpectedly.
I told you not to disturb me!
Too bad. His face distorting into a rictus of shock, the lieutenant turned, fumbling for his blaster, and a flurry of quarrels slammed into his chest. The impaled Sekhman grappled with empty air and slumped onto the brazier, his clothes instantly igniting. Burbling screams, the man tumbled to the floor, the gushing blood from his wounds extinguishing the burning uniform. Dean bolted shut the door as JB removed the chains. Christy and Mildred eased Shard to the floor. Doc started to look for anything to serve as bandages. In no great hurry, Ryan walked over and shot the twitching officer once in the head with a silenced 9mm round.
Not real. You're not here.
Mildred gave him a sip from her canteen.
We're real enough, and you're coming with us.
Freedom.
Jack massaged Shard's chafed wrists. The skin was purple and cold, not a good indication, but it started responding to the ministrations.
Dying.
Oh, you're beaten badly.
Mildred peeled back the bloody clothing to examine the wounds. Doc handed her a relatively clean towel, already torn into strips, and she began to bind the worst of the cuts.
But you aren't going to die. That fellow must have been afraid to go too far and kill you before he got the information.
Information you didn't have. Why'd you do it? The battered lips formed a smile.
Buy you a chance.
Bought yourself more than that. After we ace the heirs, you got a seat in Leviathan for as long as you want.
Too weak. I'll never make it.
I'll carry you.
Doc dropped his backpack of supplies and tucked his sword stick into the bundle, making sure it was secure. Done with the bandaging, Mildred waved him on. Easing his arms onto the man, Doc lifted Shard, seemingly without effort.
Come, sir. This way to the egress.
Shard reached out a trembling hand.
No, don't go to the courtyard. Canvas tent. Trap. It's not there.
Ryan placed the dead Sekhman's revolver into Shard's grip.
We know. Leviathan is in the armory.
He held the weapon tightly, trembling as if it weighed more than the whole world.
No, the tower.
What do you mean?
It's in the tower.
Which tower? Not Eugene's tower.
A weak nod.
Mildred touched his forehead to see if the man was delirious with fever.
Are you sure? No mistake?
Another nod.
Heard them talking. Said it was last place you would look.
They got that right. Christie's hair curled wildly.
Gaia, it's on the other side of the ville, where the riots are.
Ryan picked up Doc's pack of supplies. Then we better get moving. Time is against us now.
What about our deal to kill the heirs? We're so close to their room.
His father started for the door.
Deal's off. The bastard rebels lied to us about having control of Leviathan. They can go kill the heirs themselves. It's not our problem anymore. We're going to get our vehicle and leave this rat-blasted pit.
JB shifted his backpack of homemade explosives.
Not good. This isn't good.
Nothing's ever good. Only different levels of shitty.
His long blaster slung over his shoulder, barrel down to protect the insides from the dew. A lone sentry stood trembling slightly in the cold. His brick kiosk was alongside the main road leading to Novaville, and the thick walls helped cut the wind some, but not much. He knew there used to be glass in the windows, but a wad of C4 removed it all, plus the sick man inside, and only the sentry had been replaced. It was difficult to make glass these days, was what the quartermaster said. But the sentry believed the lack of glass served the dual purpose of keeping him cold, and thus more alert, and saved supplies. Why put in expensive glass that would only be blown out again in the next attack? The cheap bastards. He heard somewhere that glass deflected bullets, so it would actually be helping to protect the man who protected the ville. This far away, the high perimeter walls of the ville were only visible during the day, and then only as a thin line of black cutting across barren fields and the smooth black macadam of the main road. A misnomer if ever there was one, because this was it for roads. It was all they needed, and more than they wanted. A stove made out of cinder blocks and filled with glowing coals radiated waves of heat that the gusting wind nullified. Stamping his boots, he unsuccessfully fought back a yawn. An old brittle piece of plastic with holes cut for head and arms served him as a poncho against the night mists. It didn't work very well, and he longed for the day when he would reach the vaunted rank of corporal and get one of those fine bearskin coats. Now that would protect a man just fine. The belt buckled outside his poncho was looped with leather strands to hold cartridges for the rifle, and his hip bulged from a single grin. On a shelf was a plastic toolbox, the lid sealed shut with candle wax. That was for emergencies only, and it hadn't been used for months, the last time being for those fragging biker bastards. They'd almost made it halfway up the main road before dying. Damn dumbasses. Between the unclimbable mountains, the cliffs, and the cannibal scavengers, Novaville was impregnable. But then his job wasn't to fight off invaders, but merely live long enough to sound the alarm. Grim work, but better than patrolling the mine or gutting slaves on the execution dock. A low rumble, like far-off thunder, sounded, and he went to the window for a look. But the sky seemed clear, stars bright, with no sign of the low yellowish clouds that marked another acid rainstorm. Then something caught his attention on the horizon. Far down the road, past the first set of traps, near the bargaining gate, was a dark shape moving his way. Cursing his lack of binocs, the sentry squinted to see. The object seemed too tall for a pack of bikers, but could be a truck. Didn't see many of them these days, and good luck for the driver. The heirs would confiscate the vehicle and give the sec man a reward of any women on board and a percentage of any booze or tobacco. This could be his lucky night. In a silent explosion of wood, the vehicle plowed through the gate and bounced onto the road proper. Immediately, a dozen concealed crossbows released a flurry of barbed arrows streaking across the asphalt at knee level, more than enough to blow even the toughest pre-dark military tires. The black shape didn't even pause under the assault. Watching in horror, the sentry stared as the shape rolled onto the bridge stretching across a ravine. This trap had never failed. There were two bridges, actually, a slim one just barely large enough for a motorcycle to roll across, then a nice big spacious one built of canvas and hollow pipes. Even the weight of a single man would make the bridge collapse, sending the invaders tumbling into a pit full of iron spikes. It had taken the slaves hours to lay enough planks over the ravine so the Lady Ward could roll that huge outland machine across the trap. Just then, the dark shape dropped from sight. The sentry laughed in victory, then stared as the angry